There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. I met my next guest at a networking event last year where we discovered we had to podcast with each other in some way. Her story is an inspirational one, and I'm glad that I can now call her a friend. Jojo Elias married her now wife, Jess, on the 2019 season of Channel 7's Pride and Prejudice. Their story and quest for acceptance and an equality of love for all was one that touched the hearts of the nation, highlighting that same love really is all the same. Jojo is now on a mission to help people love themselves, and by changing their world, they can change the world around them. I hope you enjoy this beautiful story and the time shared with Jojo, and if you'd love to learn more about self-love, please get in touch with Jojo. Welcome, Jojo, to the Ethical Evolution.
Bindi, thank you for having me. It's an honour to be here.
Now, for most people who don't know you, they've probably been under a rock. You are most well known for starring in Pride and Prejudice last season. You were married to your wife, Jess.
Yes. So for those living under a rock, yes, that's what happened last year. And I was, really lucky that I got to marry my beautiful wife on national TV.
Yeah.
In the most bizarre circumstances. I guess it was not the traditional way of getting married.
Yeah. So what drew you to actually apply for the show and be a part of it?
Okay, yeah, so interesting story. We didn't technically initially apply for it. I got an email from Channel 7 from an old application that they had on file of me and in an old relationship. And
we
were having a few drinks one night and we were talking about our wedding and I was like, oh, my God, babe, hold on. I've got this email, and I read it out, and they said, oh, don't know your current situation, but we think you would be great for the show. And we had a good old giggle about it. And so we were like, well, let's apply. I mean, we've got a genuine story. We just sold our food truck and we were planning on going off traveling.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have any solid plans and we kind of just applied for it. And we thought we'd see where it go, you know, where it would go. And it kind of went to, it just evolved so quickly, and before we knew it, we were packing and off to Adelaide we went.
Yeah. So do you regret doing it at all?
No, not at all.
No?
Definitely. I don't have many regrets in life, really. I think, you know, life is a journey and it's full of experiences and, you know, there's new chapters that come, you know, that open and close. And so, it was definitely an experience you'll never forget. And I think I'm, really grateful that we did do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say that everything happens in the divine time as it's meant to. And the story that you and Jess shared through that experience, I think, has really touched the nation. I know in watching it, it did open some people's eyes around same-sex relationships, and that they're just the same as any other relationship.
Definitely.
Do you want to share your experience on the impact that's had for you since you've come out of the show?
Yeah, look, I guess, you know, throughout the show that's a huge part why I wanted to do it, because I knew that our story would really, you know, so many people would resonate with our story, not just because they're gay or whether, you know, they've maybe been rejected by their families, or, you know, their families have, you know, not accepted their partner because they're married outside their religion. And so I knew it have all those like cultural diversities. And so I guess, you know, I really, throughout the show, we try to support people as much as we can. You know, just the stories of people just being able to, yeah, like you said, understand our relationship, understand same-sex marriage or relationships, and realize, hey, hang on, we're no different.
Yeah.
You know, people would turn around. Some, you know, comments were like, oh, you guys don't look like lesbians. And it's like, well, what does a lesbian look like? You know, there's that stereotype,
yeah,
that you've got to look a certain way. We're too girly. We've got nail polish, yeah, on, you know. It's like, and I think that's just people's, you know, I think back in the days it was easier to tell if you were a lesbian or if you were gay, because of the way you look.
Yeah.
And people would make those sort of assumptions. But, yeah, I think it's just been amazing just knowing that our story has helped a lot of people. You know, I put together, I coach a self-love course that I put together. And so it's been really amazing connecting with people, you know, that way. And I think because I guess because of my attitude and the way I see things, and I'm, you know, I'm a very optimistic, very positive person, and I think I also have a big heart, so I'm very, very understanding towards people. And you know, it's never been about trying to enforce your opinions or anything on anyone. It's really about just, you know, giving people time and letting them, you know, they'll accept it when it's, you know, their time. They may not accept it, but you know, you still need to just get on with life and live your life, rather than trying to please, because we try and please people all the time, and that really doesn't get you anywhere.
Now, you touched on the self-love course you do, which we'll come back to in a second, but I do want to ask you about your mum and dad, who were a very big part of the show as well. And you and I were at an event last Friday where Mama Loda was there. So, you know.
Queen Lady rocked up.
Yeah. And now, how's things with Mum and Dad now after the show?
Oh, Vindi, you know what? Things are so much better now. It took, you know, we filmed almost a year ago. We got married in May, and then the show aired in October, and I didn't see them pretty much for that whole time.
Wow.
And the first time we actually sort of hung out and spoke was in December, so which was really hard for me because I've never really had issues. I don't like to really fight with people. And I think, you know, just from filming, a lot was said.
Yeah.
And I just was really, really hurt, and I just needed my own time. But they're great. You know, I think I really am quite blessed because they've never rejected me. They've never kicked me out of their home. You know, I guess my dad at the beginning, he did really, really struggle, which was, God, so expected, you know. And you know, mum's a real character. So they're really good. I think maybe we'll have to do a podcast with Mama Queen Lodi
one day.
You know, you could just it'd be good to get it. I always like to get her perspective.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's always interesting to see how they went, you know, what their experience was. Because throughout the filming, we never got to see each other at all. Only when we had filming going on, and so that was a bit weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, thank God, they're good. They're doing really well.
And like I was saying, we were at an event last Friday night here on Purpose, which is all about leaders in diversity, which you were hosting, your little pocket rocket you. And and
that was my first time, by the way, going, actually hosting something like that. So, it was definitely – a lot of fun up there on that stage. I think I enjoyed myself too much.
But the thing that I loved, your mum and your family were all there to support you, and I actually was sitting not far from your mum, and I was watching her and watching the response to, because it was a very diverse panel. And she was there nodding her head and agreeing to everything, and I thought that was so beautiful to watch and see.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, look, it was, you know, it means a lot when they do rock up to these events. And in, although they might not understand, like my mum, I guess she probably struggled with Eleganza's story most.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, well, you're born as a man, why do you want to change to a woman?
Yeah.
And it's just that old mentality where they don't understand.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, and even my elder sister was there with her hubby, and you know, they're born again Christians, and the fact that they've, you know, come, and yeah. we have Becky Bauer, who's a pastor and founder of the Melbourne Inclusive Church, you know, they were really keen to see her. So the fact that they're, you know, they're open-minded, and I think that is a beautiful thing, is that when you're actually open-minded to think of, you know, you can try and understand, or try and sympathize, or try and, you know, and you might not get it,
yeah.
but at least I think if you try,
yeah.
then that's always a step forward.
Yeah, and there were some incredible stories shared that night. And
oh, wasn't it and just amazing?
And there was not a dry eye in the house, I have to say. So credit to you and the team for that. It was a really great event.
Yeah, thank you. And it was an idea that came because I attended the first year on purpose. Mm. And so I think, you know, during our time on the show when we had a lot of people reach out to us for whatever reasons, it just, you know, I really wanted to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
And the conversation I really want to have is around, you know, faith and diversity and how can we come together in spite of our differences, because I guess what I've noticed is that so many families are just torn
yeah.
because they simply don't understand, or because their belief tells them otherwise, rather than trying to, you know, understand your child
yeah.
Over, you know, and you know, faith and beliefs is something that you really, it's very hard to try and shift
yeah.
Those in with, you know, because they're instilled inside of you, so it's so hard to shift those beliefs. Yeah, so maybe that will be my next conversation. It'd be like, you know, I think what did I want to call it? You know, maybe faith of diversity, or, you know, leaders of faith.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, leaders of faith would be, I think, a really, really interesting one. And we'll get Israel Folau up there, and we can have Tony Abbott, we can have Becky Bauer. Like, let's do the whole shebang, right?
Oh, wow. Okay, I want to see that panel.
Yes, me too. I won't moderate. I'll be in the audience.
Now, you were talking about your self-love course. Tell us what that's all about, and how people can get involved.
Yeah, so my self-love course is something that I've put together. You know, I guess personal development is something that I've been involved in for the last 13 years, and it really started, you know, I suffered with a massive, you know, an eating disorder for a really, really long time. And so I guess my journey was just work in progress, and I, you know, learned a lot of tools and techniques over the years to really help me maintain a healthy mindset. And it was just something I felt really called to do, and I really felt the urge to put together a program, and I thought I'll see how it goes. And, you know, after the first couple of rounds, I just had such amazing feedback. So it's a beautiful 7 days. I run it online so people can join in from anywhere
yep.
across the country, from Darwin, from Perth, from the Gold Coast. And every day I have, you know, I introduce new tools and techniques that are really quite simple but so powerful.
Mm.
And I think I failed to realize how powerful it was until the feedback. I mean, one of the girls who just recently did my course, she was on anti-anxiety tablets and antidepressants for 8 years. And I'm not saying that, you know, someone who has anxiety and antidepressants or been on them may not have the same experience,
yeah.
but this was her experience, and she's actually off them completely. She did the course with us back in January,
mm-hmm.
And she still hasn't jumped back on her antidepressants. And so it's just, yeah, really, really beautiful. I think, yeah, it's we get so caught up with life and going that sometimes we forget just to take time and to like really nourish our soul and, you know, fill our cup. We're continuously emptying out our cup. And so when you just start your morning with gratitude and journaling and meditating and doing a little bit of breath work, like some of these things we know of, except we don't implement them into our lives. And so I really, you know, take people through that process of introducing them and making time and how important it is to do, you know, the practices and tools and techniques that I teach. And so yeah, it's a beautiful week. People can join. I guess they can follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or I've got a website called JoJo and jez.com.au. And so I've got the course of the next dates up there.
Okay.
Or they can follow us on our Facebook or through Instagram, which is also Jojo and jez.official on both Facebook and Instagram.
Sounds awesome. I think I might sign up.
Oh, absolutely. Like, honestly, it's such a beautiful week. And I think when I first did my first course, I finished that week and I was overwhelmed with just the feedback and just seeing, you know, one of my girls, another girl who reached out to us during the show, during Pride and Prejudice. And, you know, and I always try and support people as much as possible, probably sometimes too much, but I just genuinely care for people. And I think we fail to see how amazing we are as individuals, and we spend so much time trying to be someone else, trying to make people happy for all the wrong reasons. And so, you know, we ultimately really abandon ourselves. And yeah, it's just been, it's, I've really enjoyed just sort of working with people, coaching people, and just, you know, allowing them to see, you know, their awesomeness within themselves.
You're awesome. What's your mission when it comes to this self-love course? How many people do you want to reach, and what do you want to achieve with that?
Well, I would love to reach, if I could reach 50 people a month.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, after trialing it out and seeing how powerful it is, I just want to reach as many people as possible. So, you know, whether that's 10,000 a month, you know, if I could do 10,000 within the first year, which is a big call, it's a big number. But let's get to our first 100. And I think when you work with, say, 100 people, then that has a roll-on effect. Mm. So each person that you work with then actually has the ability to also, you know, really influence and impact someone else.
Yeah.
And, I guess I'm looking at ways on how I can take my program further. You know, I come from a recruitment background, and I've done a lot of work in employment services. So, I would love to be able to even run my program, with people that I guess that are suffering with, maybe mental health or, the thing is I always make the disclaimer, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a practitioner. I'm just someone that's really passionate about supporting people.
Yeah.
And, I think I would love to impact as many people as possible, thousands, millions.
Well, I'm just thinking if you reach that many people, the ripple effect that's going to have, you know, on the people around them, because once we love ourselves, then it makes it a lot easier to love others and to be kind to them.
I think, you know, and that's the most important thing is loving ourselves. Mm. And people sometimes might see it as an egotistical type of way, oh, I love myself, and it's definitely not that. It's actually that you truly honor who you are, and you respect who you are, and that you actually put yourself first. And I think it needs to be sometimes in a selfish way.
Mm.
And I think sometimes when we do put ourselves first, we feel selfish. It's because we're so used to putting everyone else first.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I think, just like it's really about tapping in and listening to our own soul, listening to our gut, and just listening to ourselves. We don't tap in and go, does this feel right? You know, and so I guide people on, you know, teaching them how to tap into their intuition and really connecting with their gut, or, you know, working on forgiveness. And I think forgiveness is such a powerful tool to have. And I think forgiveness is probably something that's really probably helped me over the years, is that I think it's really sacred to have a forgiving heart. I think it really helps us, because then we can learn to let go of the things that no longer serve us.
Yes.
And let it be done. And, you know, sometimes it's not about forgiving people that have harmed you or hurt you or done bad by you. Sometimes it's just forgiving yourself, holding on to those feelings and to those emotions and, you know, into that blame. And so how do we find peace in those you know, situations that have really, really impacted us and maybe, you know, ultimately ruined our life. How do we find peace in that?
Mm.
And sometimes it's just making a conscious decision and every day and, you know, releasing, you know, the guilt, the shame, you know, calling on forgiveness and whatever it is that you want in your life. It's about calling that into your life and claiming it. I think it's why it sometimes can be quite simple, but we just, as humans, complicate everything.
So much. So much.
We're complicated beings.
Oh, God. I could just sit with you all day and just talk about this stuff. Like when you and I get together, it's just like magnets. Anyway.
I know. I'm like, how long do we have?
Yeah.
You ask me a question and it will be a 10-minute answer. Sorry.
Don't apologize. But I am going to ask one question of you. And I ask every guest on the podcast this because I think it's pretty profound and I'd love to hear your answer and I think it's going to be pretty amazing. What's the change you'd like to see in the world and how can we bring it to life?
Wow. The change I'd like to see in the world. Look, I think there's so many changes that could take place in this world. And I think when we're looking at, you know, how do we change the world, it's a really, you know, profound question because how do you change the world?
Mm.
And I think at times, you know, it's not even about changing the world. I think when we change the world around us, you know, then the world, you know, we change our world, then the world around us will change.
Yes.
And so I think sometimes ultimately when we just, you know, focusing on how can we be a better person, how can we, you know, I think what's really missing in this world is humanity, is really caring for each other, is actually loving one another, it's being kind to each other. And I think I'd love to see just a lot more love. And like I said, I think when we learn to love ourselves and honor ourselves, it allows us to really love each other and be kind and not be selfish and not be greedy. And, you know, like for instance, like you look at what's happening in the shops at the moment with this coronavirus and people are going and stockpiling, and which is, you know, it, to me, it's such a selfish mentality. Let's go stock up, you know. But unfortunately, like if you look at the people that can't stock up, are people that live pay to pay, people that are unemployed, people that, you know, that are on the dole, you know, they can't afford to stock up. And so, you know, it's we're in this really this real selfish mentality where we just care about ourselves. And I think it's so you know, there's a lot of love that needs to be shared around. And I think I would just feel that, you know, loving ourselves, and as corny as it sounds, I think when we learn to really truly honor in a profound, sacred way, and that's not selfish and that's really being considerate of everyone else, I think it's a huge step forward.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think you can change the world. I think we just need to change ourselves and then the world around us.
Yeah.
Change.
I always say it's I'm on a mission of collective change, and I think that's how we become one. So that's what this podcast is all about. And I think
definitely
through what you do, you're one person at a time, you're helping make that change collectively. So
yeah. And what, you know, I think for, you know, my mission, because a lot of people reach out to us all the time, and it's like the way I have sort of seen what's going on is that we are so caught up with just wanting to talk and complain about our life and cry me a river. And we don't want to do anything about it. We want to sit and complain about what's going on.
Yeah.
We want to sit and complain about, you know, what was done wrong by me. But it's like we don't want to take the steps to actually heal.
Yeah.
Or maybe so we don't know how to take the steps.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with our self-love course, if I've put together this beautiful sacred course, and, you know, either people want things for free, or they're not willing to do the work.
Yeah.
It's like you cannot expect change if you don't make change.
Exactly.
You know? You have to make changes within yourself in order to expect change.
So, so true. Oh, Jojo, I have to thank you for joining me today on the Ethical Evolution. And I can't wait to see all the people who you change through your self-love course. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. My pleasure. And thank you so much for having me. It's really beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution Podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.